This is the feast of the most holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and these are the announcements for today. There will not be blessing of articles after Mass today. There is no benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. There will be cleaning of the chapel this Monday after the 8:30 a.m. Mass as usual. Thursday, January 6th, is the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord, and there will be a low Mass at 8:30 a.m. There will be no Holy Hour this Thursday. First Friday, the Mass will be at 8:30 a.m., but there will be no conference or rosary following it. First Saturday of the month, this coming Saturday, the Mass will be at 8:30. And next Sunday, January 9th, is the Feast of the Holy Family, and there will be a low Mass at 9 a.m. for our patronal feast. Confessions resumed before, and they will be continued after Mass today. And they will also continue next Saturday and Sunday at the usual times, before and after Mass. And then, of course, confessions are always available upon request, by appointment. So let me just recap those announcements. No blessings after Mass today. No benediction this evening. There will be cleaning of the chapel as usual on Monday. Thursday, the chapel will be open, and there will be an 8:30 Mass for the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. But there will be no Holy Hour. First Friday, the Mass is at 8:30, but there will be no rosary or conference. First Saturday, the same, the Mass will be at 8:30. And then next Sunday at 9 a.m., there will be a low Mass for the Feast of the Holy Family. The feast this week, of course, today is the Feast of the Most Holy Name of our Lord Jesus. Wednesday is the Feast of St. Telesphorus, one of the early popes. And Thursday, as I mentioned, is the Feast of the Epiphany. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are on trial today about a good work done to a cripple, as to how this man has been cured, be it known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, even in this name does he stand here before you sound. This is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which he must be saved." Please stand for the gospel. The gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 21. At that time, when 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So this feast of the Holy Name falls only a few days after the great feast of Christmas. And this year it's only 1 day after the holy day of obligation, of that octave day of the circumcision, a few days before the Feast of the Epiphany, and surrounded by so many feasts, there is a risk of overlooking its importance. But it truly is an important day. You could say that another name for it, if you wanted to, is the feast of the friendship of God with man. Think about that. A friendship between the infinite creator and the completely dependent creature. Let's look at the history a little bit. The history of this feast specifically is relatively recent as far as church history goes. Its origins were about 500 years ago, and this was with the Franciscan order, and then it was made universal in the 17th century, the celebration of this feast. And it wasn't until the 20th century with Pope St. Pius X that it was set on this exact day. I'll mention why it was shifted a little bit later. But let's go back even farther, all the way back to the Old Testament. Because isn't in this moment in time in the Old Testament, through this apparition of God to Moses, this name was given to God. And when this name was given, it was held in reverential fear by the chosen people. They call it the Tetragrammaton, these Hebrew letters that make up this name, Jehovah, or more properly called Yahweh. And at that moment, God, in the eyes of man, was given a name. But as I said, there is a fear attached to this name. The chosen people rightfully appreciated the great distance between God and man. And so no one could use the name of God under pain of death. Only one man was given that privilege. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, this feast of the Jews, the high priest would enter into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, this most sacred inner chamber of the temple. And in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and in the presence of this Shekinah, this mist that hovered over the Ark, showing the presence of God there, the priest, in a hushed tone, just a whisper, would say the name Yahweh. That was the only time it was uttered. And why is this? As you've heard from this pulpit before explained, to refer to someone by their name, their first name in our society, requires a certain degree of intimacy, of familiarity, in days past, it was unheard of for anyone to refer to someone who was in a position of authority by their first name. And you still see remnants of that to this day. If you were to walk into your school and refer to your teacher or professor by the first name, call them by their first name, they'd probably be pretty shocked, pretty surprised. Of course, this hierarchy in society has been more or less dismantled in recent years, and now even priests go by their first name, Father Joe, and so on. Because we're all buddies, we're all on the same level, right? But the reason why this was always practiced throughout history, this reverence when using someone's name, is because it cuts right to the very heart of a man, so to speak. It captures his very personhood. It's the definition of himself, the summation of his whole person in one word, his name, that differentiates him from all others. It implies a very close connection to refer to someone that personally. But just think about this. The name given to the Hebrews, this name held in such esteem and held to be so sacred, did not even refer to the personhood of God. It referred only to his nature. I remember when I was very little and I was studying the catechism in the old children's catechism book. It had images to help illustrate the questions and answers. And one really stuck with me, and I still use it today when I'm teaching the catechism, because they wanted to, in this book, they wanted to teach the child the difference between nature and person in an individual. And without getting into any philosophy, bypassing all deep explanations of what a hypostasis is and personhood and so on, and what nature and essence are, it bypassed all of that with just two pictures. It shows this little boy talking to this grown up, this adult. And he's asking him a question. He says, "What are you?" And the man says, "I'm a human being." In the next picture, he says, "Who are you?" The man says, "I'm John Smith." Nature, person. But remember what the name Yahweh meant. I am who am. I am he who is. And after this name was given to Moses, our Lord, God the Father, had said to him, "Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, He who is has sent me to you." That's what God is. Because in that phrase, I am who am, I am the one who is, he who is, we're referring to the fact that God is infinite. He is existence itself. He possesses all perfections without any slight hint of potentiality. There's no possibility of increase in God, no possibility of diminution. All that he has, he is being itself. I am who am. That's what God is, but not who he is. But even referring to God's nature was too much for the Jewish people. Rightfully so. This is the way God wanted it. They had an appreciation of that infinite gap between God and man. And so they came up with all these other names that sort of spoke around God's essence. Adonai and El Shaddai and Elohim and all these different names, Lord, Master, and so on. They had only referred to God in those terms. But then, in a moment in time, with the words of the angel Gabriel, with the fiat of the Virgin Mary, His will be done. In that moment, that infinite cleft, that infinite gap was bridged. And now God was man. And then a few days ago, on Christmas, God entered the world. And here He was, now united with us. But that wasn't enough. He wanted a more intimate bond. And so, as was the custom in those days, His Father gave Him His name. And you can see in the scripture that both His heavenly Father and His earthly foster father gave Him His name, because it came from God the Father through the mouth of the angel. And then at the moment of circumcision, it was given by Saint Joseph. And look how perfectly this name represents this person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, because this name, Jesus, means Savior. And how fitting it was that He received this name of Savior on the day when He shed His first drops of blood for us. On the day of His circumcision. This feast used to be celebrated a couple weeks from now, and used to be celebrated with the gospel account of the marriage feast of Cana. It was decided by Pope St. Pius X that it was more fitting following the circumcision, which is of course true. But it is an interesting connection with the marriage feast of Cana, why it was originally celebrated on that day. Because in the marriage feast, the man gives his name over to his wife, and two become one flesh. And here Christ gave us His name, and we were united in this marriage of the Incarnation. But it goes far beyond the name of the Old Testament, because this name of Jesus Christ refers not to His nature, but to His person. How intimate a friendship we have, that not only are we allowed to use the name of Jesus Christ, but our Lord wants us to. He wants it to be on all our lips. What a friendship we have with God. Is given to us as a form of friendship, is given to us as a great aid and a help. In times of temptation, one of the greatest helps we have is to say the holy name of Jesus along with the name of Mary and Joseph. Especially in temptations against sins of the flesh, is this a powerful help to us, a great medicine for us as well. I remember personally experiencing it in my life. When my father was nearing the end, and he was going through a really rough spot, and he had lost his hearing, and what he could hear, he couldn't understand. And I remember before I went over to visit him, one of the priests here told me, I was a seminarian at the time, one of the priests here told me, if you can get him to just repeat the name of Jesus over and over again, just have him do that. If he can't focus on anything else, see if he could do that. And so I remember I visited him, and he was in his chair, and I sat beside him. And he couldn't hear, couldn't understand. And I leaned in really close, and I said, Dad, I said, if you can understand me, maybe you could just repeat the name of Jesus over to yourself. I think you'd find a lot of consolation in that. That's going to help you. And I'll never forget it, because for the first time in many days, he responded. And he said, okay. And boy, that was a great consolation for me. It was only later that I found out that it was St. Francis de Sales who said that if you repeat this name over and over again on your deathbed, you're almost assured of a peaceful and happy death. I think that was a great blessing that my father received. I'd like to end with these words from St. Bernard. You can see his statue in the shrine of the Blessed Mother in white. But let us see how all these things come to pass. Call upon me in the day of trouble, says the Lord. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt be glorified. There is nothing which so restrains the impulse of anger, calms the swelling of pride, heals the wound of envy, represses the insatiability of luxury, soothes the flames of lust, quenches the thirst of avarice, and dispels the fever of uncleanness, as the name of Jesus. For when I pronounce this name, I bring before my mind the man who by excellence is meek and humble of heart, benign, sober, chaste, merciful, and filled with everything that is good and holy. Nay, who is the very God Almighty, whose example heals me and whose assistance strengthens me. I say all of this when I say Jesus. Here have I my model, for he is man, and my help, for he is God. The one provides the precious cure, the other gives it efficacy. And from the two, I make a potion such as no physician knows how to make. May God bless you.